Boom. All right. So a lot of people, this has come up 1,000 times, I feel like. Maybe 1,000 is a little exaggerated, but it's come up a lot of times lately, which is talking to people who want to create content online. They want to put out stuff on social media for others, and then they get scared of it. They're like, oh, but like, how does my hair look? And what if I sound weird? And what if I don't look cool? And all that stuff. All of that is a complete waste of your time, waste of your energy. And the way that you get around all of that is very, very simple. The way that you get around it is you just focus on serving people. Think about when you're creating content, you're doing that to help some other person out there solve a problem that they're facing. There's something that you have the solution to. You have solved the problem. You figure out how to go from A to B, from a pain state, a problem state, into a solution state, a pleasure state. You've figured out how to get people help, right? Whether it's being overweight or, you know, out of shape, or it's not having clients and to getting clients, or it's being stressed and anxious to finding inner peace, or being sick to getting healthy, like whatever it is that you help people with, that's what you do with your content. So if you're willing to put yourself out there and look silly and look stupid and sometimes not have all your shit together in the service of serving those people, then you're doing good work. And nobody's going to be like, oh my God, this person really helped me completely transform the relationship with my kids, where now before it was discord and conflict, now it's joy and harmony and happiness and connection and love. And she looked really silly, so I don't like her, right? Nobody's going to think that. Nobody is going to think that. So if you make everything about them instead of you, then you will win. You will help people get better. And if you help people get better, they're going to appreciate you for that. And honestly, even if they never buy from you, you've done good work. Even if they never buy from you, you have done good work. And there will be people who will buy from you if you help them, right? And people are also afraid of putting out too much stuff, because then what am I going to sell? But that's not how human psychology works. It's funny, like once people buy your programs, they stop looking at your marketing. So you can literally put out every single thing that you teach in your programs in your free content, and it's going to be fine. People are still going to want to buy. And the reason people are going to want to buy is for several reasons. One is just reciprocity. Like, you did something for them, they want to do something for you. It's human nature. We like to reciprocate. Another is proximity. Right, so they just want to be closer to you. They want to be around you because you've helped them, because they feel like they know you and they trust you. They built a relationship with you, and so they want to be closer to you. Another one is speed of implementation. So by working closer with you, you know, they could find all this stuff for free on social media if they were willing to dig through all your stuff, but by signing up with you and with your program, they get kind of to hitch themselves to more of a freight train, and then they can go there faster with your help. And so plenty of reasons that people will still pay you for your services, even if you give everything away online for free on social media. So do that and just get in the game. Just put it out there. The way it works is that the long form is for relationship building, and the short form is for attention getting. And so, you know, you put out the short form videos, basically TikToks, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels these days. That's where you get most of the attention, the short clips. It can also be tweets can go viral, or short Facebook posts get organic distribution. So that's where you get new people into the fold. So you want to focus a lot on that, mostly on the short form videos, to get people into your universe. And then once they figure out, oh my God, this person has something interesting to say, then they're gonna watch your long form content. But the way that you create the short form is that you create the long form, and then you pull out short form clips from that. You can also create short form directly, but that's the method that's working. And it's pretty simple, but it obviously takes a lot of, you know, a fair bit of work. I have another training where I break it down, but basically what you can do is you can do 1 hour of like long form content. Maybe there's like 5-6 different topics during that hour, and then you can chop that up into bits. And so the whole thing goes in your podcast. Each of the 5 different topics goes on a separate episode in your podcast. Same thing goes on video, on YouTube, both the long one, the full one, and the shorter ones. And then you take that full hour and you throw it into something like Opus Pro or Descript or Content Fries, I've heard of. And then you create short form clips from that. That's essentially what we're doing here. We're kind of bootstrapping it because I don't really have the full team behind me at this point. So what I'm doing is just I'm going live right now, because then at least it's out there, even if the team isn't fully up to speed on catching up and getting everything. Because there's no point in having content that's just sitting on your hard drive, right? There's no point in just creating stuff that's just sitting there. So we want to get it out there. But yeah, it's just like always think about the person that you're trying to help, that you're looking to help. And usually that'll be you like 3, 5, 10, 15 years ago, right? That's your avatar, you before you went on this journey. And so you really know this person very well, so you can speak to their pains, their fears, their insecurities. Like for me, posting content, I just felt very wrong. Like I don't have my shit together. I feel wrong. Therefore, I must be wrong. Therefore, who am I to tell anybody anything? And that's not a good mindset. You are not wrong. And just because you feel wrong or you think you're wrong doesn't mean you are wrong. That's just a faulty thought. It's the thought that's wrong. It's not you that's wrong, right? And it's fascinating because I was doing a training on upper limits on Sunday, and so many people everybody has upper limits. Upper limits is when things get too good and you feel too happy and successful, you do something to bring you down a notch. And the upper limit is the why you do it. Why do you feel the need to bring yourself down when you're up, when you're getting up? It's really crazy. Like, you know, you probably heard this before, that lottery winners within 2 years, or I should look up the actual stats because I'm just talking anecdotes here, but we all know it's true intuitively. Lottery winners within 2 years, they're usually back, almost all of them are back to where they started financially. Like they've blown all the money, and chances are in the process of doing that, they've also destroyed their families and their friendships and their other relationships, right? Because now they go blow it all on hookers and cocaine or something, right? Which maybe your wife isn't too happy with, or you blow it, or you like all your friends start asking you for money and you give them money and then, or lend them money and realize that they couldn't be trusted with it, or you don't and they hate you for it or something, right? So like it will actually destroy people's lives. It's really fascinating when you think about it, because there's been this war on poverty in this country, in the US, for decades. And it turns out that you can't, like, the war on poverty has cost trillions of dollars, but has done zero to combat poverty, because you cannot combat poverty that way, because poverty is entirely between your ears. It's a mindset, it's a belief system. If there's any person anywhere in a similar circumstance to you that successfully got rich, that successfully got out of poverty, then it means that there is a path out for you as well. And it's just a matter of figuring out what it is. And that comes back to actions, and comes back to beliefs. So it's all about your belief system and how you're wired that makes you rich or poor, period. And so we cannot combat poverty with money. We can only combat poverty with mindset. And the best thing you can do for people who are poor is to not be one of them. For you to figure out how to not be poor, and then teach them how to not be poor. Teach them the mindset. Teach them the mindset. Teach them what you learned, what you overcame in the process of figuring out how to not be poor. That's how you do it. Anyway, so I forgot how we got into the poverty stuff, but yeah, the upper limits, content, upper limits. I totally forget how I got into this, but upper limits is massive. I was teaching that on Sunday. I know I mentioned that. I forget why I mentioned that. But I remember talking about teaching that on Sunday, and everybody has upper limits. Everybody has this feeling that we're broken in some way or flawed. Not everybody has that, but okay, yeah, this is, now I'm remembering. All right, so it's because I was sharing about me feeling wrong, and so that would hold me back from creating content because, like, I feel wrong, so who am I to say this? And also, like, sometimes the energy of feeling wrong would come out in the content, and it's not so good. It came from a place of I'm wrong, and like if I can look really cool or do some shit here, I can feel less wrong. Like, again, that's like ego. It's making it about me, not intentionally. And I'm not saying you make it intentionally about you, but it's a trap that we easily fall into. But when I did this training on upper limits on Sunday, there's four main buckets of reasons why people feel like they don't deserve more happiness, success, feelings, good feelings in their bodies, health, wealth, relationships, love, all the things that we want. It is that you feel like you're a burden, like, and being more successful with it would be a bigger burden. It's B, that you feel that it would be disloyal to your roots in some way if you were successful. Number three is the fear of outshining, being, you know, brighter than someone else. And number four is feeling fundamentally flawed or broken. There's something fundamentally flawed or broken about me, and because of that, I cannot be successful or happy, or I don't deserve to be successful or happy. And when I asked people on the training which one of those four resonated the most with them, by far, feeling fundamentally flawed and broken was the number one. The number one. Think about that. Think about that. So many people go around feeling flawed or broken. I wish that in some ways, I wish that there was like complete transparency. We could all just read minds and we would see what was really going on inside of other people's heads. Because then we would be able to see that it's all the same shit. We're all feeling flawed or broken or afraid of outshining or afraid of being too much or too little. Afraid of being a burden to other people. It's all the same shit that we all suffer with. And so if we could all see, oh my God, me feeling broken, everybody else feels broken. Everybody else feels broken, or almost everybody else. And I was like, oh shit, it's not me, right? It's not me that's broken. It's just my thinking that's broken. It's not just me and my thinking. It's everybody's thinking that's broken. So maybe just give ourselves a pass. Like, yeah, I'm not broken. Just because I have that thought doesn't mean I'm broken. And the thought can do whatever it wants because I'm not buying into it, because I'm not believing this whole myth, this whole story that I'm broken, that there's anything wrong with me. I don't buy that. So back to the content. Go create content for people that helps them overcome a problem that they're facing. And do that for free as much as you humanly can, right? Post. You cannot post too much. That's another fear that people have. It's like, oh, but I don't want to be just posting all the time and it's too much. And like, that's the burden, right? You being more successful, you serving more, like you become a burden on people. You posting stuff is a burden for people. Trust me, the internet pipes can handle the traffic. You know, Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and whoever else, they can handle the content and the traffic. They've got the servers and the storage devices, the hard drives and whatnot to store this data. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine, right? And that's probably not your concern. Your concern is probably more that you're gonna show up in people's feeds a lot and that they're gonna be like, oh, what's this person? And so they're judging you for doing it, right? You're taking up too much space here. And there's no such thing. There's no such thing. Like, there's an infinite amount of space. You can post as much as you want, and not everybody's gonna see everything you do, right? People are not on the damn app the whole time, right? Not everybody's gonna see what you post. But if you don't post a lot, then you don't get a lot of at-bats. You don't get a lot of chances to get in front of people. So you wanna post a ton, as much as you can. 3 times a day, 5 times a day, 10 times a day, per app, per format, right? 10 stories, 10 reels, 10 posts on Instagram, 10 text posts, 10 long form posts, 10 video posts, some short form videos, long form on Twitter, like post all of it all the time. Post a lot, because that's what gets you in front of people. And when you are in front of people, you can actually impact them. You can actually change their lives. You can actually make a difference. And if you change enough other people's lives, your life is going to be changed. That's the mechanism. That's the logic. Zig Ziglar said, you can have anything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. That's what it's all about. It's all about getting what we want. It's about helping other people get what they want so you can get what you want. And then kind of the spiritual thing comes in. Well, like, oh, wanting is wrong. No, wanting is not wrong. A lot of times we want things for ego reasons. And we're like, oh, I want this because then I'll feel like I'm successful and rich or good enough or whatever. And like, yes, that's how the shit works. We're wired this way. And, you know, maybe like, and then we evolve and realize, oh, this supercar that I was dreaming of, like, you know, it didn't do that much for me after all. Like, I had this roadster. I'm going to grab some water. Stay hydrated, folks. By the way, these bottles, it's called Purist. Maybe you can see it. Supposed to be really good because it's metal, but it's covered inside with a thin layer of glass, which means that you don't get actually metal in your body when you drink the water. Glass is best, cleanest, not plastic, not metal. Glass is the best material for your water, but it's, you know, it breaks. So they put it inside of a metal bottle, but covered it with the glass so that it is safe for you, so you don't get metals in your body, because you don't want metals in your body, trust me. Yeah, there's this car that I desperately wanted for 10 years. It was a BMW. Originally it was a Z3, then they upgraded it to be the Z4, and it's just like this cool ass roadster. And I dreamt about it because the company I worked for in 2001 had one for like as a company car, and then you could borrow it, and I would borrow it from sometimes and go racing up and down California's Highway 1, and I was like late 20s or something, and I felt like on top of the world. It was like, oh my God, this is fucking, I'm the shit. I got this like car, drives so fast, it's so cool, right? And then I moved back to Denmark, and in Denmark, cars are crazy expensive, right? Yeah, like 3x what they cost in the US, if not more. Ridiculous. And so a car like that was just way out of my league. And so I dreamt of that car. And then finally in 2011, I think it was, I moved back to the US and, or try to, because I didn't get the visa at that time. And I buy one of these cars, used, and it's the Z4. It's space gray. It's gorgeous. It's so fast. It's so zippy. Like, you hit the gas and it just like goes. It's and it makes this cool sound. And everybody's like looking at me like, oh my God, that's a cool car. Like, so many people would point it out and look at it and point it. And like, I remember coming back from a restaurant and looking around the parking lot, and I was like, there's not a single car in this lot that I'd rather own than mine. I'm like, I saw it, I was like, oh my God, ooh, my heart exploded. And then literally two weeks later, I came out of my hotel room and down to the parking lot, and I look for the car and I see it, and I was like, where's the heart palpitations? Where are those feelings? Like, come on, huh? All right, I'm gonna try to go back up to my room and then back down to the parking lot to see my car. I'm like, nope, nothing, nope. But I got there and it was just a damn car. It was just a car. It was a great car. It was a nice car, a beautiful car, but it was just a car. It didn't do anything for me emotionally. It was a huge moment for me of realizing that those things that we dream of and that we think, oh, once I have this, I'll feel fucking amazing, they're all decoys. But you know what? Who gives a fuck? Like, we still want those things when we want them. And then we get them, and then we learn they didn't do much. And then if we're aware enough, we realize, oh, shit, what is it that I really want? Right? And what we really want is we want to feel whole and complete. And for me, I had disowned a part of me that felt powerful and rich. I remember doing this shadow exercise, which was like, you know, you say something and then you see if it has a reaction. You would sit in a group with three other people, and then you would say, like, I think this is purely positive. Like, it could be positive or negative. You can be like, I'm a liar. And then you felt shame. And then the people around me, you were like, yeah, so what? Like, and you say it again, I'm a liar. And then they're like, yeah, oh, okay, so. And you realize that there's, like, you keep saying it until there's no reaction. And having those other people around you just, like, being like, sure. Like, not having a reaction teaches you that, oh, like, I don't have to feel, like, terrible about being a liar, like, having ever lied. Like, it's like, fine, like, I, yeah. Like, I'm human, right? Like, we all do. And the same thing, I was sitting there with that group, and I was like, I'm rich. I am rich. And I felt so ashamed of saying that. I am rich. Not the name Rich, Richard, or something, right? Like, no, I'm rich. I'm wealthy. And I was like, no, don't. Nobody can see that. Like, I don't want to be rich and wealthy. I had this all this programming that said, if you're wealthy, if you're rich, you're a jerk, you're an idiot, you're cold-hearted, you're uncaring. Because I felt like my family was kind of cold. And when I went to my friends' families and they were a lot poorer, there was like a lot more warmth. And I actually, like, literally, I grew up in a very wealthy suburb, and all the families, all the homes of my friends as well, it felt cold, emotionally cold. And then when I moved to another part of the country where people were a lot poorer, there was a lot more warmth and love. So I really associated in my mind that poor people are warm and rich people are cold. And it's not true. I think there are, there might be a correlation, but it doesn't mean that I have to be cold because I'm rich. But that was the programming, and I didn't want to be cold either. So I guess I had a shout out on that too. But sitting in that room and be like, I'm rich. And then people are like, sure, yeah, great, awesome, yeah. No reaction, right? Like, oh, right. I can be that. And so I disowned that part of myself of being rich. And so having the car and feeling like I wasn't good enough at the same time, like, I don't want to be rich. And also, because I'm not rich, I'm not worthy. Like, quite a bind, right? Like, we make these like crazy binds for ourselves in our minds, like these like weird ass prisons. And so by realizing that I can, by buying the car, I felt like, okay, now I have proof that I'm wealthy, and that means I'm good enough and I'm awesome and I'm cool, right? Like, and at the same time, I was like, I remember going to Swami Cafe in Encinitas and being like, I hope they don't see me drive up in this car, because then they might think I'm rich. And I don't want them to think that, because then they wouldn't like me, because they're not, or something, right? Like, it's crazy, man. So yeah. Upper limits, projections, all the things. This went like in all kinds of directions. So why was it talking about the car? It really becomes about being our whole selves, right? Just being our whole selves, whether it's rich or poor, or whatever you are, just be you. And in social media, really, just be you more. Right? Be exaggerated a little bit, like, play with it, allow yourself to play all out, and just like, give it all you got, like, give it all of your personality, because that's going to attract the people who like you and repel the people who are not going to like you. And you don't want to do business with those people. You don't want to do business with people who are not going to like you. Like, why would you do that, right? That's a total poverty mindset. That's like, oh, I need everybody to like me so that they will give me money, because, like, money is scarce. No, money is not scarce. Money is constantly flowing around the internet. It's because people want all kinds of shit. Whether it's good for them or not, they want it and they're willing to pay money for it. So let them have it. It's not your job to judge whether it's right or wrong or good or bad. If they want it, help them get it. If you want to, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but you don't have to be the moral arbiter of other people's lives. Cause, like, yeah, they like, I've wanted a bunch of things in my life that I later found out, like, that wasn't what I wanted anymore. And that's fine. Like, we live and we grow and we find that out. And I really believe that desire is divine. Like, the desire is God-given. The desire for something, the desire to create, the desire to procreate, right? To have sex and make babies. The desire for like wealth and success and, you know, health and a beautiful body and all those things are divine. They're divine desires. So help other people fulfill them and don't be the judge of them. And just like, if that's what you want and that's what you desire, then I'll help you get there. And then maybe once you get there, you realize, oh, there's something else, or there's a deeper desire. Like, the desire you really have is not for the car, but for the wholeness of feeling that you're good enough, you're worthy. And then, like, once I help you get the car, maybe you're like, oh shit. And then you're like, yeah, I know. And I told you up front in my free content that this is probably how you're gonna feel. But I'm happy to help you get the car. There's nothing wrong with that. And then now we can have a conversation about what is it that you really want. You want to feel whole and complete. You want to own all the parts of you. You want to own all of who you are. That's what you want. Great. Let's talk about that. Let's see how we can help you with that, right? And it's not good or bad or better or worse or right or wrong. Just find out how you feel called to serve people, how you feel called to help people overcome their problems and frustrations. Which for problem, who, what person, who, right? Who are you gonna help? I love that it does that. Who are you gonna help? Let me see if I can hear reactions. Can I do, oh, look what I can do here. Oh, shoot. Balloons, I can actually click the things. Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I hadn't looked at that. Okay, confetti, all the things. What? Oh, shit, what's that? It's wild. And what's this guy? Oh, fireworks, nice. Okay, look at my hair. I need a haircut. Yeah. I stopped using product in my hair, and it's actually really nice. I don't know if my hair has matured a little bit, it works better now. It used to be like, without, still kind of let that a little bit, but not quite. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about? Be you, one, help them get what they want. I don't know. I completely lost track here with all the reactions. So yeah. Go help thing. Oh yeah. Figure out who you want to serve. Who you want to serve. There we go again. Who you want to serve. Figure out what problem you want to help them overcome. What pain they have that you can help them with. And similarly, what outcome you can help them get. And then what is the way that you're going to help them do that? Those are the core, the who, the what, and how. Those are the core of any business, any piece of content, brand. Like, what is that for you? You get to choose that. You get to decide what that is. And I'm doing an intensive this week. I might do one next week as well. And that's kind of the core of what we do is like, who is the person? What's the problem and how are you going to solve it? And why? Why do you care? Why does this matter? It's funny because that's actually something that people found harder than I thought they were going to find, right? Why do you do this? Why do you give a damn? Why do you even care? Why do you give a fuck? And for me, like, what gets you out of bed in the morning? What's the evil in the world that you want to combat, that you want to fight? For me, it's all about entrepreneurship as the ultimate good in the world when done well, right? I think lots of entrepreneurship turns into evil. Lots of entrepreneurship eventually turns into evil. Like famous case in point, right? Google. Google had as part of his mission statement, do no evil, something like that, right? And they had like the great fucking ethos, and then they got caught up in wokeism and ESG and like just corporate public company BS and all that shit, And they kind of lost that. And it's interesting how you saw, like, they got Eric Schmidt to run it. And then, like, they, it was like Larry and especially Sergey at one point, like, completely checked out of the company. And I think it's because, like, he felt like it got taken over by forces that weren't, I'm just speculating here completely, but he felt like he was, got taken over by forces that weren't what his values were about, right? That weren't what he wanted for the company. And you see that a lot with people. I saw a thread on Twitter lately about how, like, that all the top 10 female artists were basically, like, trapped by what they had to do to sell out to get to where they are. And so it's not that kind of entrepreneurship, right? It's not the big business, like, corporate Hollywood, Pfizer, all that crap, right? It's about small e entrepreneurship, like you and I, small businesses. We exist to solve problems for other people. Otherwise, we don't get to exist. Those other people can exist even though they don't really solve problems. Like, they have to solve some problem at some level, but they can survive by lobbying and changing regulations and rules and laws and all kinds of shit, right? So that they can make money anyway. So they, a lot of them are parasites on humanity, right? Like, the medical industrial complex is completely parasitic, right? They're like the whole, like, scandemic and vax and all that shit, right? Like, they're using the government to force people to buy their product, which is harmful to people. It's like, yeah, maybe that's not the force for good that I'm talking about, right? That's not the force for good that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and I, regular people, and how we're here to serve other people. And that's why I do what I do, is to help entrepreneurs, small e entrepreneurs, do their work in the world. And what I know is that they need strategies, they need systems, they need to know what to do, they need to know how to do it, it's tactics, they need the systems, the software, the technology, etc., to do it. But more importantly, they need to know how to use all of that. And then the most important piece is behind the ears. That's the most critical piece to succeeding with your business. And the more that you succeed, the more you serve other people, the more good you do in the world. That's my why. That's why I do this. And that's because that way, my aim is to unleash the life force, the creative life force inside every human being on the planet. Right now, most of us are trapped, right? We're trapped. We're living in a trance. We're just kind of going through, and we're stressed, and we're like, we don't feel like we're in charge of our lives. We don't feel like we're in charge of our minds. We live in a trance, like scrolling on the internet, on the phone, right? And like smoking weed, being drugged up, being on like Ritalin, and being on like literally being on pharmaceutical. 65%, 66%, like 2/3 of Americans, I think was the number, are on some form of prescription drugs. It's insane. It's insane. The more medicine, the more US spends, what, almost $3 trillion on medical, on the medical healthcare every year. And Americans are getting sicker and sicker and taking more and more drugs and getting sicker and sicker. It's like, I think something's wrong here. I think something's off a little bit, right? Maybe, I don't know. So yeah. So where was I? Shit. So yeah, small e's. Yes, our creative life force is trapped by false beliefs primarily, right? We think we have to be someone other than who we are, right? I think a lot of us grow up and we're like year 0 to 1, dopamine, we're getting all our needs met. Like, maybe like we're not super happy all the time, but like generally, yeah. Then 1 to 2, we start to get into trouble. Our parents are like, oh, don't do that. Stop. Don't do that. Like, we don't, I can't have, like, and then we're like, oh shit, shame. Like, I did, like, dopamine, noradrenaline, dopamine, yay, explore. Oh, this is cool. This is fun. Like, the stove, the staircase, whatever. Like, parent go, no, stop. Right. You can feel their anxiety, right? Their fear. And then you're like, then noradrenaline, you're like, shit, oh fuck, what do they do? I'm wrong. And then if we don't get caught in that moment and get love and get comfort and get back to dopamine, we learn, shit, I'm wrong. Not what I did was wrong, but I'm wrong. I'm wrong. There's something wrong with me. Fundamentally flawed, right? I am wrong. And then we grow up constantly searching for who do I have to be loved, rather than who am I, and just be that. We learn, no, who do I have to become? How do I have to behave? How do I have to act in order to be loved so I can be safe? As a kid, if we don't have our parents love and care, we're not safe. And we know that we need touch and that like right brain contact and love, and we need that a lot more than we need food. Way more. And so if we didn't get that, we figure out who we need to become in order to be that. It's like when you have a plant in the window, right? It's going to grow towards the light. It's going to grow bigger on that side. So you have to turn it every once in a while so it can grow evenly, right? It's the same with us as kids. We're like, oh, this is when I do this, I get love, I get praise, I get attention even. Even sometimes if it's negative attention, it's better than no attention, right? And you're like, okay, so I'm going to start doing that and behave that way, even though like I am something different. But we, like from a young age, most of us learn to override our inner sense of right or wrong, or like of who we are, right? It's like we have a parent who's like, smack, smack, I'm only doing this because I love you. Oh, that's what love is. It doesn't kind of feel like love, but I guess I'm just wrong. Maybe I should just update my mindset around my belief system around what love feels like, right? Obviously, none of this is conscious, but it happens. And this is what we need to unravel after. And so the whole journey back to ourselves, back to who we truly are, I believe that when we are resting in the truth of our being, in our soul, our spirit, and we allow that to translate, like it comes literally from our root, our genitals, is where the seat, the pelvic floor is the seat of the human life force. And it's, you know, flows up through our bodies and gets expression out into the world through like our, you know, we can speak and we can use our hands and arms and legs and whatnot. It gets expression outward, you know, our life force. And when that's free, then we're naturally healthy, right? Disease comes from all this tension, all this like, oh, I have to be this way. It's like, oh, that's like really like, you get all this tension in the body and like in the stress and mental all that stuff that starts to manifest as disease. And we use all this energy to try to be, not be who we are, to try to be something different. It consumes a truck ton of energy. And then we get lethargic, and we get, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome and autoimmune issues and all these different things. Like the immune system gets lower, and then these viruses and bacteria can take root in our bodies, and the toxins and the environments, all these things, right? So the more that we are just truly who we are, and we relax in that, and we just enjoy that, we rejoice in that, and we allow that energy to express outward. Just like look at a child that's playing, right? Look at a kid that's like the joy of movement, the joy of just being, of like discovering your hands, and like look, like whoa, like look at those, like oh my god, like it's incredible. Like children show us so much of what we have lost as adults. And the more that we live in that human life force, the healthier, happier we are, the more good we're going to do in the world. And then entrepreneurship is just the extension of that. It's just putting some structure around it. Maybe a little bit of team, maybe, or a lot of team, some products, some offers, some money changing hands, all of that stuff, so that we can express that life force outwardly in ways that serve other people. I believe that we're naturally wired to want to serve other people. That's what makes us happy. When we're unhappy, unhappiness is always when you're focused on yourself. Right? You are always unhappy when your focus is on you. And there's beautiful things about having focus on you, but not if you're doing it from like a repetitive victim mindset, then it's harmful. And the best way to get out of that is to focus on other people. How can I serve someone else? How can I serve other people today? If I only serve just one person who hears one snippet of something that I said, and they're like, damn, you're right. Oh shit, I can see I can see how I'm trapping myself here and I could free myself, then I will have done God's work today. And this day was worth living for me because I reached one person. If you can make that your goal every day, just reach one person, touch their hearts, touch their soul, all right, then it'll have been a good day. And if every day is a good day, you're living a good fucking life. All right? It's not more complicated than that. It's really not. So my mission, my why is to help people connect with their true seat of who they are deep in the pelvic floor, in that, like, that felt sense of beingness in their hearts, in their guts, in the pelvic floor, and express that out in the world, and let their mind be the left brain mind be the tool that helps them, that gives the structure so that they can do that, versus what it is for most of us, which is a prison, right? It's like, look, mom, look, dad, you no longer have to punish me because now I punish myself, right? We've become so good at punishing ourselves, at restricting who we allow ourselves to be, at limiting ourselves, our beings, because we've disowned a part of us, because we've made ourselves wrong. We now do it automatically. We don't need anyone to do it. And then maybe we see something on social media or hear something in the news, or our spouse says something and that, like, triggers it. And now we're like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm wrong. I'm bad. And I want to free people from that, because I really believe that that is the path. That is the path, I think, to joy and happiness and prosperity. I believe that that is possible within our lifetimes, if we want it enough, if enough people want it enough, we can make that our reality. There's literally nothing in the external world that prevents the golden age from being here. I'm reading this book, The Law of Success, by Napoleon Hill, and it's amazing. I'm gonna do like a book club around it because it's phenomenal. Like a free thing. We're gonna read a chapter each week, or a lesson each week, and then we're gonna meet every week and talk about it, and just keep doing that week after week. I think it'll be a super fun thing and insightful because it's a brilliant book. But one of the things he talks about is how, like, he's like, now with the advance in sciences, we can fly, and we know how the mind works, and auto-suggestion, and the mastermind, and the definite chief aim, and all these things, like, now, and the golden rule, now, like, the golden age is here, right? We can overcome all of the challenges that we've had in the past now, because we have the science of achievement, the science of success. And turns out, you know, not so much. Like 100 years later, we're like, nope, not really. Even though we have the internet, which makes this stuff available for free to fucking everybody. Not literally for free, because you have to have a phone and an internet connection. Well, you can go to the fucking library. It's free, right? The library was there all the time, so it was always free, right? Or not all the time, but you know what I'm saying. For a long time, right? The Law of Success book, as at the library. It's been at the library for 100 years probably, or at least since it was published. But now it's available on your phone. Like, what? Like, everywhere, all the time, right? And everybody has a fucking phone. So it's free to them because they already have the device. And yet they're still not consuming it. They're still not taking it in and internalizing it and applying it to their lives. So what the fuck happened? What the fuck went wrong? What the fuck went wrong? And it's entirely belief systems that are transferred from parent to child, from adult in the schools to the child, from the media to child, from movies to the child, from the entire cultural ecosystem of beliefs. It's installed in the child's mind. And the first 7-8 years of a child's life, their brain is like a sponge, just like absorbs it all and stores it really deep. They don't have a conscious mind to reflect on it, to think about it, to think whether it's true or not, and discern. they just takes it all in and installs it, right? And so, and then it's really hard to unlodge after the fact. It's doable, but it's a lot of work. And so that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And it happens one person at a time. Dislodging the false beliefs in their minds and then helping others dislodge the false beliefs in their minds. And then very importantly, helping kids, you know, raising kids and dislodging that never get those beliefs installed in the first place. And that's the hard part. Because at the age that most of us have kids, we're not mature enough to know what the fuck we're doing. We're not mature enough to not install a bunch of shitty beliefs in our kids. It's unfortunate, but we're not. And so we need to... did something here. How do I get back? There we go. I was trying to make this window a little bit bigger. And so... That's why I'm passionate. I would love to have a couple more kids. I'm almost 50, but I don't think it's too late. And I mean, Tony Robbins just had a baby like a couple of years ago at 60 something. And I think it would be doing really good work. I would love to raise kids from the consciousness that I have now and the awareness that I have now. And I think it's an important thing to do for society. And so it's like, as you mature, as you get older, like you can only do so much with the kids where you weren't that aware. You can definitely help them. And I think it's very, very important. I think there's a connection. There's an energetic connection between parent and child. So when you break some of these ancestral patterns, I do think that it instantly affects your children as well, like your lineage up and down, that you making shifts makes shifts for them as well, which is amazing. But even better if we can start putting some kids into this world who don't have some of this baggage to begin with. And then like we're gonna have to watch out for what media they consume, right? Like TikTok is like a fucking mind virus. It goes straight into the brains of these kids. And obviously now I'm not talking 7 year olds, but more like teenagers, right? Still goes straight into their brains and makes them mentally ill. It's crazy. Like the whole, like TikTok is not a privacy concern. TikTok is a mind virus concern. It's like a straight, like IV straight into the brains of people, right? It's very powerful. It's extremely powerful. I mean, you just see how the media lies and how many people are brainwashed by what the media says. Like that's just from like reading the damn newspaper and watching television. Just then imagine like you're on that screen the whole time and what that does, like it's insane. And like, and those clips are so engaging because they have to be to get views. Right. So yeah, no, that's crazy. So yeah. Anyway, so my whole why is to free human creative life force so people can live long, happy, prosperous lives. That's my game. All right, you guys, I think this has been long enough. Appreciate you for being here on as part of this journey on this path. And I will see you some other time in some other place. Much love. All right, bye.